While we focus every day on the here and now, eternity awaits us. Those who know Christ have a glorious future ahead of them. The doorway to heaven is the death of the believer. When Stephen was martyred, he had a vision of Jesus welcoming him home. For those who fear death, this can be your vision as well. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Acts chapter 6. Erwin Lutzer comes again to teach us that when God is first, He owns our future. And what a future that will be.
It says regarding the saints, they shall reign with Him forever and ever. We receive the victory of Jesus. We are crowned by Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, "Death opens a door out of our little dark room into the great real place where the true sun shines and where we shall meet." When you weep at a funeral, know who you're weeping for. Weep for yourself and for others, and it's perfectly legitimate and right to do that because we miss them. But don't weep for the Christian who's gone to heaven. Oh, no, no, don't weep for them. Because they're okay. It's like Tony Evans says, "I hope you have a good time at my funeral," he said, "because I'm not going to be there. And I'm not planning to be at mine either, as a matter of fact. And you're not going to be at yours." We'd all like to think that somebody might show up for it, but we're not going to be there. There's a third blessing that is received, the blessing of the welcome. There's the blessing of the crowning, the victory. There's also the blessing of receiving the will of Jesus. Now, we don't have time to go into this today because you've heard me speak about this so many times, God's providence in our death. Was Stephen simply the victim of some evil people who sprang on him, arrested him, and stoned him, and dragged him out of the city, killed him, threw his body away? Although the body was given to the Christians, we learn later. Is that really the way you read history? No. Stephen belonged to Jesus, and he died within God's providential will. As we shall see in a moment, some good came out of his death. And sometimes God takes people who are older, sometimes he takes people who are younger. I'm reminded of Jim Elliot, who died as a martyr. As a young man, he said, "God is peopling heaven. Why should he limit himself to old people?" I mean, if God is peopling heaven, if his children are so dear to him, and it does say precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints, if his children are so dear to him, he takes them sometimes even at young ages. Now, the Bible says, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears fruit. I want you to notice very briefly two effects of Stephen's death. For a man by the name of Saul, Stephen's death meant salvation. Notice what the text says, that the witnesses, I'm in verse 58, meanwhile the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, this young, brilliant rabbi, Saul. And the reason that they laid their garments there is because they knew that he could be trusted. They took off the clothes. You know, it's hard to throw stones when you have a thick robe on. And they gave it to Saul. And Saul, as a result of all of that, even became more angry and persecuted the church. Eventually, he's converted and he turns into the Apostle Paul. He's renamed. And years later, just before he died, he said in Acts chapter 22, he said, "I was such a great sinner," because he says, "I consented to the death of Stephen." You know that Paul could never get over Stephen's death. I think there were two things that haunted him. First of all, Stephen's face, which was like the face of an angel in the midst of all of these people who hated him. That was the first thing. And then the second thing is, look at the way in which Stephen prayed. And he said, "Lord, I'm now," in verse 60, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." That's the way a true Christian dies. You say, "Well, Did God answer this prayer? Yes, God answered the prayer for those people whom God intended to save. It was a prayer that was answered in the life of the Apostle Paul and others. It was not a blanket prayer that was applied to everyone as if God would not hold them accountable. But there were some people for whom the sin was not laid to their charge. And Paul was one. So on the one hand, Stephen's death helped Paul to understand the gospel. And he never forgot it. There's another response. For Paul, it was salvation. For the nation of Israel, it was condemnation. Condemnation. You remember, Jesus had predicted that not one stone would be left upon another in the temple. And that's exactly what happened. Because in 70 AD, Titus came and surrounded the city, and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed in the most horrific way, with a sacrifice of hundreds of thousands of lives brutally murdered. And Jesus said that that was happening because you did not know the day of your visitation. Stephen's death was just another nail, so to speak, in this coffin. Isn't it true that funerals do the same today? You are either drawn closer to Jesus. I've seen unsaved people attend a funeral, and for that moment there's an openness there and a willingness to be drawn to Jesus as they weep. But on the other hand, there are some people who may weep, but their heart only becomes harder. They become angry with God. God, why did you do this? I can't figure God out, and if I can't figure God out, I'm not going to trust Him. And instead of becoming softer to the truth, they actually become harder to the truth. What are the two lessons we can learn from the death of Stephen? He received the welcome of Jesus. He was crowned by Jesus, and he received the will of Jesus. God's purpose was accomplished in his life. And we're talking about making God first. A year or so ago, I read the book by Viktor Frankl entitled Man's Search for Meaning. It's a book that all of you should read. It is a remarkable book of life in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. And Frankl, as a psychiatrist, is trying to look at what happened and his own experience to try to figure out why did some people survive and why did some die. And I can't go into all the details, but he has a remarkable statement when he says, "He who has a why to live can put up with any how." In other words, those who had family and friends, they were the ones who survived because there was a reason to survive. But if a person had no reason to survive, he just gave up and died. Well, I want to take Frankl's words and interpret them a little differently. And I'm not sure how this is going to come out. I've been struggling with how to say this, but I think it'll become clear. He who has his future secure, his eternity secure, can put up with anything in time. I don't care what you're going through today. Well, I do. I do care about what you're going through. I care about what I'm going through. But you know, it's all going to end okay if you trust Jesus. The worst that your enemies can do, probably, is to kill you. And that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Stephen would say, "Hey, man, bring it on. You want to... I give you some stones? There are more stones over here." Because the worst thing that can happen is for you to spend your eternity on the wrong side. If you know that Christ is your Savior, death is a glorious entrance. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "For me to live is Christ. No matter what happens here on earth, I've got Jesus." But he said, "To die is gain. Because then I've got Christ." This is the death of a Christian. There's a final lesson, and that is that the destiny of all people is settled in this life, not the life to come. Stephen was welcomed into heaven, and Jesus was there to greet him at the right hand of God the Father, and the glory of God, which is the very essence and beauty and purity of God. Jesus was there to welcome him. But you think of all those who die without faith in Jesus, the only qualified Savior, and it is a horrid picture. I told you a few moments ago that years ago, before sedation and medicine, people often anticipated and could see behind the curtain even before they died, and they'd make remarks when they slipped from this life to the next. I told you about D.L. Moody, and here we have the example of Stephen. But let me give you only two comments made from those who did not trust Christ as Savior. I'm thinking of Voltaire, the great agnostic who wrote against Christianity. His last words were, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell." Isn't that amazing? Somebody who doesn't even believe in hell. The moment of death says, "I shall go to hell." And then Francis Newport, I won't give you the whole quote. I'll recite some of it from memory and then I'll quote the last line. He says, "Oh," he says, "if I could suffer for 1,000,000 years, it would not buy my forgiveness." Isn't that amazing that a man like that comes to die and he understands theologically, if he could suffer for 1,000,000 years, he could not buy his forgiveness. And he ends by saying, "Oh, eternity, eternity, oh, the insufferable pangs of hell." Wow. So while on the one side we rejoice, on the other side of the curtain for those who have trusted Christ, there is another side to the curtain which is horrific. And it all boils down to what you do with Jesus, the only one qualified to let you into heaven. Everything comes down to this question: what will you do with Christ? Well, my friend, aren't you amazed at the fact that at the end of the day, everything does come down to Christ? What astounding, astounding claims he made, that our eternal destiny is ultimately determined by our relationship with him. And if we know him as Savior, we will be welcomed into heaven even as Stephen was. But if we do not know him, we are on our own. And as the skeptics know at the time of death, that 1,000,000 years of suffering will not buy their forgiveness and their cleansing. So I conclude today urging you to trust Christ as Savior. For those of you who know Christ, yield yourself to him in a new way. Begin to read the Word. But for those of you who don't know Christ, would you at this time say, "Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I acknowledge my sinfulness. I thank you that you died for sinners. And today I cast myself upon you for my salvation and for my deliverance." Do it now.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded He Owns Our Future, the 7th message in his series, When God Is First, taken from the book of Acts. On Monday, we'll begin our last message in this series, as we learn that when God is first, he owns our appointments. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. When God is First is a series designed to help all of us order our priorities. This 8-part series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God is First. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.